listeners. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman with Very Best of Living. I'm with Kat this morning. How are you?
I'm great, Taylor. Good to hear your voice.
Always good to hear your voice. We are right in the thick of a conversation the last time we ended, and so we want to pick it up this time with motive. Remember we were talking about that last time?
Yep.
Why do I do...
I have been thinking about that.
Yes. So think about it for a minute. Like, I'm telling you, this is the most difficult concept for people to get for lots of reasons, right? But it changes the quality of your life once you get it. So, you know, what makes a clean motive versus what is a dirty motive? Or why are you telling me that's dirty when I think it's clean?
Right.
And so I want to get into that today. I really want people to understand what determines whether a motive is legitimate and clean or dirty and illegitimate, right? Self-serving, for example.
Yes.
So we can take an easy approach, maybe just the idea of win-win versus win-lose, lose-win, and lose-lose. Let's just use those four dynamics for understanding. So in a win-win situation, a win-win means that you, Kathy Larson, and I, Taylor Hartman, engage in a relationship and we both win. We both gain from the relationship. A win-lose would be that you and I are in the same relationship, only I'm winning at your expense. Like, you're part of the relationship, but I am taking advantage of you. And that's meeting my needs, not your needs. But the motive is for me to win and you to lose. At the end of the day, like if I'm sarcastic at your expense, or if I'm making myself successful at your expense, then it's a win-lose. And it's interesting, Kat, the people that choose to be on the losing side of things and the people that choose to be on the winning side of things, if there's a win-lose. So the ones that by nature are going to go on the positive side of winning at someone else's expense are more the reds and the yellows. And then if you go lose-win, like I'm in a relationship with you, Kat, and I'm going to lose just to be able to stay in a relationship with you. So in our relationship, I give up because I'm so good, so noble, so saintly. I defer. I'm the victim, but I do it because you deserve better. Like, you deserve more. So I lose so you can win. In that situation, blues and whites are more likely to be the losers deferring to the reds and yellows. And then the fourth one is lose-lose, which is where the whites come in strong. I'm going down. Well, guess what? So are you. And they can take years to bring the other person down as well. So the four concepts are this. If you are winning and I'm winning in a relationship, it's a win-win. If I'm winning at your expense, that's a win-lose. It's a dirty motive. If you're losing so I can win, that's a lose-win, and that's a dirty motive. And if it's lose-lose, it's also a dirty motive. So the only win-win is the clean. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I want to clarify one thing. I can't claim a win-win unless I'm collaborating with you, right? I can't just name that. Well, we're in a win-win unless I get the other person's input.
No, first of all, that's so well said. That's very good. Yeah, that's a great insight. Plus, here's the other piece. It may be a win-win and I don't choose to embrace that. Like, you may be doing everything you can to make me collaborative and I'm not choosing to accept it, which is typical with a teenager and a parent.
Very common.
I'm telling my child that I want them home at a curfew. My child is seeing that as, oh, I'm winning at their expense. So they don't know what I know can happen after midnight. So in that sense, even though I'm not doing this for me, it's not for me to be more noble, not for me to look good. It's because I'm trying to protect my child from things they're not aware of, right? He's not buying it. That doesn't mean it's not a win-win. That's where it gets kind of interesting. See what I'm saying?
Yes. But isn't a parental relationship, like a parent-kid relationship, does that have some special qualities around it with a win-win?
No.
They might not never see it as a win.
Well, that's true. But even in a marriage, I see it. I mean, there's somebody that really can't be doing a win-win. Like, truly, their motive is clean. It is a win-win. But the second party is not choosing to see it that way. They're not choosing to embrace.
Well, that's a good point.
It doesn't change truth, right? They're trying to change the truth, but it doesn't change the truth. And that's when it gets kind of muddy. It really does. It's kind of, like I've always said to people, if you're a man married to a woman and you're like certain that she's the problem, go talk to other women. Don't talk to other men. Talk to other women. You're going to get much more clarity about what possibly you're not you're missing than if you talk to other men who are going to say, well, of course you're right. Of course it's her, right? So I'm always telling people, like, come on, don't make it dirty because you don't want something to be good. Like if it still can be clean and you not choose to embrace it.
Oh gosh, yes. It's crazy. And you know, it's so funny when you're saying that because it's so, you know, you could go and coalition build with, you can pick five people that will, you know, are going to, you know, you're going to vote. They're going to vote your way no matter what. I talked to five people.
You know, and you also make that comment in the conversation. Like, by the way, not just me, but five people think you're the problem. Oh my gosh, is that the truth or what? It's funny though. And by the way, you always do that out of fear. Always. If I ever say to you, like, I'm having a disagreement with you, Kat, and I say, and by the way, other people feel the same way I do, the only reason I would ever say that is because I don't believe I'm legitimate enough to say it for me. So I add a layer in.
But what if that other person doesn't respond to my legitimacy? Would it not help? Wouldn't it help go, but listen, babe, these two other people said the same thing. Wouldn't that give them a different perspective?
How often do you think they want that perspective?
That wasn't the question, Taylor.
I don't. Well, yeah, but we're trying to talk about being effective, right? So oftentimes.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't find that it's very useful ever, even when I want to say things like that. I don't find that it's very effective in winning the day because the person just gets more irritated. Yeah. If what I'm saying to you isn't enough for you to listen to it, then by layering it, it's not going to make it any better, I can assure you.
Oh, I think that's such a great point. I just want to sit with a second. So if we don't have a strong enough relationship that my words would stop and you either consider or impact you, exactly, then that in itself is a problem. So bringing something else into that conversation, another person's opinion, even makes it worse.
Great point. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that, no, you made the point. I think that's so good. I just had to replay it in my brain.
Yeah. Because like, you know, but you're right that we tend to do that instead of really realizing all we're doing is causing more damage, not helping the situation.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's important. The idea of clean motives. I mean, this is so difficult because, you know, it's kind of like, it's like being human. Like when you're in the water and you say to the fish, how's the water? That's all they know is the water. So they don't know how to answer that. As a human, we're so all about motives. Everything we do every day is motives. Like, why do I want to get dressed for that? Why don't I want to go to that meeting? Why am I angry at my dad today? I mean, why am I choosing a different path in terms of friendships today? I mean, every single day, clean, dirty, like even choosing what you're going to eat is a question of motive. Like, am I doing it to comfort myself or am I doing it to fuel myself? Like, what's the reason I'm doing this, right? So there are thousands of motive issues every single day in our lives. And if people are cloudy, they make poor decisions and they don't understand what they're doing to the quality of their life. They don't understand it. They don't see it. It's almost like you can appreciate this because you obviously believe in fitness and eating healthy. Someone like you, an athlete, is much more likely to say, I'm not going to put that into my body because it actually works against what my goal is, right? What I want to do with my life.
Yeah. I
feel that same thing as a mental health practitioner. Same thing. I'm like, why would you put that thought into your mind? It's not going to enhance you at all. It's not going to help you have a quality of life. So I'm really kind of like, I want to teach people to be pristine in their motives. I want them to think about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And is that really going to get me what I want in the end? And can I own how to change my motives? Can I really stop being something and be different if I can see myself damaging myself or others? Can I do that? Do I want to do that?
Is that the first question? Is like when you say you want to bring this to people, is that the first step in who do you want to be? Is that how you ask them?
Yeah.
To start this journey or does that make sense?
I start with asking why. Why are you doing that? Like I always, that's where I start. Why? Why are you doing that? And they'll start, usually we take a minute to get there. Usually they don't know why. I'll give you an example. So I saw a couple recently. She's yellow, he's red. I'd never met them before. And he is livid about his wife having an online presence now. She's into fitness. She's a very attractive, fun, engaging person. And he is this remarkably dedicated, loyal husband that does everything except love her. I mean, he's excellent at cleaning and doing and fixing and paying for, and you name it, he does it well. And he would never look to another woman. He's not into that kind of stuff at all. And she is like, he doesn't understand a thing about like noticing me, like praising me, like being grateful that I'm part of his life. Never, ever gives me any compliments, touches me, any of that kind of stuff. It's just all about just doing routine behavior. So we met, and all he wanted to get from the meeting with me was for her to get off her Instagram, where he feels that she's posting things that are causing comments from other guys that he doesn't appreciate. And so I said to him, no, I'm not going to give you that. And he's like, what? Are you promoting that she have relationships outside of the marriage? I said, no, but you are. And he's like, how could you say that? I am the most loyal, committed. I said, I understand that, but you also understand that you're not giving her what she keeps asking you for. And until she can get that, right, she's looking elsewhere. So if I clamp down on her and I take away a yellow's freedom and I say, I agree, you're out of line, stop it, she'll never do her work. She'll never understand how to grow and become more legit with you. And number two, you'll never, ever do your work because you got all you came for, which was to get her off social media, which is the last thing I want to do for you because you're way better than that. And he was so angry. I said, that's okay. Just here's my book. Take my book. So he took my book and he read it to spite me. That's why he read it. I'll just show you once I understand where you're coming from. And this man literally transformed. Like in 2 weeks' time, Kat, he transformed himself. Everything he'd been doing was a good thing to do, but the motive behind it was fear. And it was very self-serving. I'm right. I'm red. I'm arrogant. I know it's right. Here's what we should be doing. None of that was tied to a clean motive, which would enhance the quality of their relationship. And he said, I've never seen this. In my entire life, I've never seen this. Now that I know, I can change that. My wife keeps thinking the other shoe's going to drop. I said, it won't drop. He said, I know myself. I've been wrong. I get it. I got a lot of work to do. But I'm the problem. And I did not see that at all.
Wow.
I mean, that's in 2 weeks' time. Literally. Now, he's got work to do.
Wow.
He's got work to do. But I'm telling you, the impressive piece to me, Kat, was him saying, I get now why you didn't tell her to get off Instagram. I get it. I understand it now. I didn't understand that before. That's not my problem, is it? I said, no, that's not
your problem. That motive would have been
control based on fear. Yep.
Based on fear. And just for this conversation purposes, like say it's like this easy, it isn't, but he should have been coming from what motive?
Right. He should have been coming from the motive of what am I doing that causes me not to get what I want, which is my wife's relationship. I mean, that's what he really wants. You know what was really kind of cool about this scenario? He had said to me, I said, so where are you most vulnerable? He goes, social. I'm so uncomfortable socially. I'm always afraid I'm saying the wrong thing. And of course, what's his wife? Socially, totally connected, right? Yellow. Yeah. So I said, oh, I see. So you married the very thing you're not good at and you want to shut it down. That'd be the worst thing you could do for yourself. If you want to grow, the last thing you want to do is take her out of what she does well. He goes, you're so right. I married her because I love that about her. And I'm so weak in that area. If I had my way, I would have cut her off from doing that. And I would have cut myself off too. That's what I would have done. And justified it that I'm trying to make our marriage stronger. Isn't that interesting? So that beauty of that clarity, powerful.
Just so powerful. I have kind of a weird side question on this. Do you think that fear covers up the good stuff that's already in us?
Yes, I do.
Does that make sense?
It's a great question. I absolutely believe that. And fear has so many different faces that you don't always see it for what it is. But yes, I think there's great stuff in everybody, so much better than we think, and fear covers it. I do.
So it's not like I'm starting with a, that tabula rasa and I have to write all this good stuff on there. I've taken a muddy blanket and thrown it over some of my stuff. And now I have to figure out, first of all, how to get the blanket off and then to clean off all the dirt that's there. Right. I mean, is that I know that sounds funny metaphorically, but it's like how, like I look at it like I'm not a blank slate that I'm like, oh, I'm doing this bad stuff. Good stuff is there. I'm not starting from zero. It's already there. I just have to find it. I have to get down in there and do the work and find it.
There's always good stuff. Absolutely. But, you know, it's funny, Kat, because when I wrote my first work, the reason I did what I did was the behaviorists that were the predominant, they're still the most predominant kind of way of thinking today in the field of mental health. They were saying that everybody's born blank and then society writes on you. So your life experiences dictate who you become and who you are.
Right.
And the humanists, they are the ones that believe that everybody's born wonderful and good and then society messes them up. And then the Freudians, they believed that people were all born screwed up and society has to fix you, right, and make you right. So what I discovered was, no, they're all true and all wrong. So my awareness became that everybody has in them good and everybody has in them bad. And life does write on you. Therefore, it does color you. So when I take your example, I really do believe that everybody has some really good stuff that's been covered by a muddy blanket, and they need to undo that. I also believe there are people, and anyone that's a parent with more than one child knows this, there are kids that are born with fear. They come uncomfortable, they're insecure, and I would say that's bad. That's stuff that they came with that they got to figure out, right? And you can say all you want, well, aren't children all pure and whatever? I said, if you have any kids, you know, you didn't make them everything they are. You didn't do that. There's some kids that are so good, you couldn't screw them up if you tried to. And other, you do the best job possible, and they're just barely kind of eking out a clarity about themselves. So I don't ever want someone to feel judged, good or bad, that way. I just think we all know that we have our own innate strengths and innate limitations. So for our purposes here, Kat, I think it's really, really good when someone could say, so is there just, have I decided not to believe the best in myself? Is that what I've done? And I'm not seeing the good in who I am?
Yeah.
And I think it's one woman that said to me, I always loved this comment. She said to me, you know what? I would never have known who I was had I not married the man I've married. I can tell you today at 32 who I really am. I could never have told you before I met him. So what she was saying was the way I was raised was so bad and so poor, and I was not confident enough to see myself for what I am until this man entered my life. And now I see things I could never have seen. Isn't that cool?
So cool. Well, now we need to add, because now I'm going to start saying this. I'm not a Freudian. I'm a Hartmanian. That's what I am.
It's true. It's true. Well, and you know, it goes to the point we're talking about, which is motive, right? That is my work, is motive. It's all about motive. Yes. So not just your core motive of personality, but why you do what you do. The whole character path is about getting your motives clean. So, for example, I think of this, he was a great adventurer and known for great things in terms of accomplishments that he did in the world. And I was so impressed with the dynamic of what he brought to the world. And then his son met me and said, no, I'm not impressed with my father. What you see, I understand, but that's not the man I know. Everything he did was at my expense. I did not matter to him. His accomplishments are all that mattered. And so I don't see him the way you do. So then I started thinking about that, Kat, in terms of the steps to character, like whether in this man's situation, I would say that he was really good at focusing his commitments and he was getting things done. But here's a young boy or man who was not one of his commitments. And so the damage that he was done, that was done to him by this individual making his commitments elsewhere was significant. So it's kind of interesting when you think about motive. It drives, in fact, the example of the red man I just told you about, he said, I realize now that my wife kept saying, why am I always second? I'm always treated second. And he was like, how can you think I'm treating you second? I do everything, like everything. I pay bills. I handle everything. And he said, now I get it. She was saying, I was second. I was never what I wanted was never what you wanted to give me. You gave me what you wanted to give me, but not what I wanted to be given. So I think it's important that motive's always tied to every step we take. The motive for valuing self, the motive for seeking truth, whatever the motive might be, even the ultimate motive, which is serving others. I mean, you and I both know plenty of people that have done a lot of service, but it's all about them, not about what they're doing.
That's
so
right.
So motive is why I do what I do. That's what it really is. Why do I do what I do? And sometimes I'll have people come to me, Kat, in therapy, that all they really want is to be heard. They don't want to grow. They don't want to do their work. Or all they want to do is land a punch. I just want them to know they were wrong. So all I'm saying is, depending on what your motive is, when you seek help, it will color your experience dramatically. Why you do what you do. Why you marry, for example. I love that concept. I don't know if I ever told you about my whole thing about why is it we marry so young? And then it's probably the biggest decision of your entire life. So how's that fair that you're marrying so young and yet it colors your life so dramatically on so many different levels? And I got that remarkable impression, like you get exactly what you deserve when you marry. I'm like, whoa, wake up call. Really? So I started looking at marriages, good and bad, didn't matter. And I started seeing that people that were honest about themselves and their relationship, they could honestly say, you're right. When I married, this is what I was about and what I deserved. Now, that can change, right? I've seen people that grow, evolve, where their spouse doesn't. So that happens for sure. But at the time they married, they got what they needed, right? So I think motive is why I do what I do. I talked to a gal the other day who just said, I'm marrying a man with money. I want a man with money. Mm-hmm. And she goes, that's kind of superficial, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. And by the way, I'm fine with that. Just know that when you go into that relationship, there will be a price. Just know that. If you're okay with that and they're okay with that, that's your call. But I want you to know that is not a loving motive. It is a self-serving motive. And it will come back to bite you at some point. So, I mean, again, just getting to know the motive doesn't necessarily clean it up. At least it makes you aware of it, though. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I staying in a relationship that I'm miserable in? Well, maybe it's because financially you can't see a way out. Maybe that's what it is. But at least own it. At least own what it is.
That's so good. And I think because you can get a little swirled about like, oh my gosh, how do I, you know, how can I get clarity? And why don't you just talk a little bit, Taylor, about that character process when you look at how to go to that place in strengths and limitations, because that's a good indication of dirty, clean motive, right?
Yeah, very
like
much
if so. I'm living in my limitations.
That's a great point.
So you want to talk just a little bit about that? Like, how do I look at all the strengths and limitations? And if you pick your biggest limitation, you know, how I find my way out of it in another color.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Is this a good time to talk about that?
Yeah, it's a great point. Let's do that. So when you do the personality, the character profile, you're identifying the things that you're strong in and the things you're weak in. And if you really want to be charactered, you start by saying, so what am I doing to sabotage my life? What am I doing that does not enhance what I want my life to be? So that would be the limitations, things that you're circling down below. Now, by the way, if you're very insecure, you don't circle things down below. You're just too afraid of the negatives. So you only circle the positives and you live a lie.
Right.
And you live in denial. Everyone around you knows that's not true, but you don't want to hear it, right? Because you're too weak to hear it. You're too weak to hear I have a flaw.
Right.
But if you really want to get better, you start with thinking, okay, all right, this is my flaw. I need to work on, like when I worked on being thoughtful for a year, it was all because as a yellow, I don't go there. I don't expect it and I don't go there. But I thought I could live life more abundantly if I added that dimension. And that dimension that was missing for me was to think about it, just to sit in it for a minute and think about somebody else's situation that would make me be thoughtful of them, to write a note, to call them. That's not a yellow thing to do. So I was being more self-serving, right? Just self-centered. So by getting out of that, I was then able to add a dimension to my life that I never had before, which was thinking of other people. So in essence, that was kind of like a step forward at looking at my motive that was wrong and dirty and making it more clean and legitimate. Now, if I did that and then expected to have somebody respond by saying, thank you for being thoughtful, then I'm back to a dirty motive again. Now I'm back to doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Does that make sense?
For the wrong reason.
For the wrong. So,
yes, absolutely.
So in the end, just so our listeners understand, you've got to always keep the reason you're doing it clean or it will come back to bite you. Even if you started clean and went dirty, that does not work. You have to do that.
Right.
All right. So today we're going to quit for today, but that's kind of the essence of this, right, Kat? I mean, hope our listeners are getting this. This
is so exciting.
The essence of it. So thank you all for being here. As always, we love having you. And we'll be back next week with a new one. Have a great day.
Yes, we do love you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Color Code family, it's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.